Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
What's happening, Rush Nation? Here we are. It's draft day. Exciting time for some. Exciting time for everyone, really. You should be. You should enjoy the draft. I know I had a rant about this year's draft and content in particular, but it doesn't mean I don't enjoy the draft. It doesn't mean I don't love the draft. It just obviously means that I'd like it to be better because I'm a big fan of the NFL draft and have been for the better part of 25 years or so. So I think in terms of this show is really just to talk about the fantasy players that are going to be drafted tonight, tomorrow night in particular. There might be a few sort of day three guys in there to keep an eye on, but ultimately, you know, we're going to be focusing on players. I'm going to do it in the form of Superflex, so you get an idea for quarterback value. Obviously, if it's not a Superflex league, then, you know, you'd push the quarterbacks down quite significantly and focus more on the running backs and wide receivers, especially wide receivers. There's not many running backs to focus on at the top of the top of the board. So let's dive straight in. I want to try and keep this to sort of 30 minutes or so. So you've got enough time to process this and listen to this before tonight, ready for your rookie drafts. They're starting this weekend or Monday, etc. So top of the board, and this will shock people only because of what I said last night, and that is Caleb Williams. If I was sitting at the 101 in fantasy drafts, in the Superflex draft, I'd be taking Caleb Williams. And I know what people are saying, well, you put him as your sort of fourth overall quarterback, and yet all of a sudden you've now got him as your 101. How does that make sense? Well, it's pure and simple. I talked about this yesterday. I think the talent is the best for him as opposed to anybody else. I think that's a really key part to understand in terms of, I think he's got the highest ceiling, but I'm worried about some temperament issues. The other thing is as well is you don't necessarily have to be a great quarterback to be a great fantasy quarterback. Justin Fields has just proven that, and people have this fealty towards Fields because of the fact that he delivered fantasy points for people. That doesn't make him good. It just makes him good for fantasy. James Winston is another great example. You know, the guy was absolutely blockbuster. He threw for 5,000 yards, but ultimately he threw 30 interceptions. So, you know, at the end of the day, just because you're able to put up fantasy points, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the best fit for a team or you're the best fit for, you know, a top five, top 10 in your position in the NFL. And that's something that has to be taken into consideration at the quarterback position, probably more than the other positions. So, Caleb Williams is the guy. I just think where he lands in Chicago, he's the day one starter. He's got no competition. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got DJ Moore. Relatively strong running game there as well to support and get behind. He's going to make plays. They're going to be some blockbuster showreel stopping plays as well. Yes, he's going to make mistakes. Yes, the Bears might not end up in the playoffs or with a winning season, but that doesn't stop the fact that Caleb Williams for fantasy football will have a really decent first season and probably first few years as well. It's just whether or not he will be able to be in isolation and with the rest of the team enough to turn around them from a non-playoff team to a playoff team. And that's the part that I have some question marks over, but that doesn't take away from what he will do in the short term on the field. The next one, again, will probably shock people, will be Jaden Daniels. Now, I, again, don't think Jaden Daniels is as good as McCarthy, is as good as Penix Jr. from a quarterbacking perspective. And some people are going to look at that and just absolutely hit the floor and drop their jaws and think that's crazy. That's my opinion. That's what I think about it. I think for me, the kind of issue I have with him is just purely he makes so many bad decisions. He's quite a smaller framed quarterback, but he has the rushing floor. And I think that's the only reason I elevate him over the other quarterbacks. I have some severe concerns about the longevity of Jaden Daniels in the NFL as an NFL starter. Might prove me wrong, probably will prove me wrong. Ultimately, the reason I take him at the 102 is I think, depending on where he goes, I think he starts day one or relatively early. He's going to bring a nice rushing floor. And if I sat there and said, right, these three or four guys are going to start for the next 3 years, I'd expect him to be second in the pile when it comes from a fantasy points perspective, just because that rushing side is gives him that lift up. Not the same as Justin Fields, but in a similar fashion. That doesn't mean I think Justin Fields is a good quarterback and good enough to start in the NFL, because I don't. But ultimately, I think if you're looking at it from a fantasy perspective and a fantasy perspective only, Jaden Daniels is going to give you a significant lift over some of these other guys purely on what he's going to do on the ground. But I do think he is a flawed prospect. And, you know, if you are concerned that Jaden Daniels is not going to start for a very long time in the NFL, then obviously that's one you need to swerve from. Or alternatively, he's a player that you perhaps take in the top five. You probably don't take him at two, but maybe you take him somewhere else and have a think. Marvin Harrison Jr. is my next prospect. For me, I can't let him fall below this. And if you take him at the 102, or if you're stacked a quarterback and you take him at the 101, I get it, 110%. I think you're talking about a prospect who can't, you can't miss on him. I think he's going to be absolutely brilliant. He's comes from NFL lineage. That's a really big part of this as well. So I just think for me, he's got absolutely everything I want. Great contested catch ability. He's, you know, going to give absolutely everything. He could be a legitimate star in the NFL. And I think regardless of wherever he goes, I think it's going to be great. Could go to New England, could go to Arizona. Someone could trade up, someone could trade down. Whatever it happens, wherever he goes, he's going to be a top receiving option. And he is going to light it up. So for me, Marvin Harrison Jr. should not fall below three in your fantasy drafts. You could make a case of him going at two. I kind of have him and Daniels kind of literally right there. And I think probably just because Superflex is the only reason I tilted towards Daniels. But actually, I think if I've kind of just talked myself into probably going with Harrison there. Next one is Drake May. I really like Drake May. I actually think he's probably the most NFL ready of these quarterbacks in terms of where he's come from, what he's done, what his profile, what his mentality is. I think he's going to have a very, very good career in the NFL. It really depends on what he does in terms of where he lands as a starter. But I think he's going to be very, very solid. And I think he's going to have a very, very good season in his rookie season. And I think he's going to have a good few years. He's going to be Mr. Consistent. The only question mark I have on Drake May is he going to be good enough to consistently finish in the top 12 at the position? That's the question mark I have for May. I do think he's good enough to start Superflex games in fantasy football for the next 3 years. And so that's why I'm very comfortable taking him. The two things you're not going to get with him is the high ceiling. I don't think he's going to threaten top five, top seven at the position. So you're not going to get that high ceiling. And I think you're going to have some games where he'll sort of plod along as sort of 14 to 16 fantasy points where it's neither great nor bad and it's going to be fine. You'll get, I think, quite a few of those. And so that's my kind of take on him. For me, I'm taking Rome Odunze next. He's the next guy I really have. I just think he, again, I'm thinking of players that are just not going to need a lot of adjustment time. So let's just take Jordan Addison was a player who came into the NFL and needed a considerable amount of adjustment before he was sort of ready to kick on the second half of the season. Rome Odunze is completely the opposite. I think he walks in and is NFL ready day one. I think the attitude's great. The commitment is ready. His size and speed is heavily reliable. Great tested prospect. I just think for me, he's got everything. Probably needs to work a little bit on just shaking off receivers. Could get done at the line a few times. That's probably the only concern I have about him. So I for me, have Rome Odunze next on my list. And then after him, I have Malik Nabers. Now, you want to sit here and switch the order of these two? Fine by me. I can't make a... I, for me, am in the Odunze camp. Some are in the Nabers camp. I completely get that. At the end of the day, Nabers is just quick. He's an absolute speed demon. But we see it with some of these people where they have this speed and ultimately sometimes they underperform. And so that's the only slight detriment to that. But he's more than just speed. He is a really polished route runner. He has a great receiving tree. He can do a lot of different things. He's one of the best receiving prospects we've seen in recent years. Compares very favorably to someone like Jamar Chase as well. And from a similar school, that's an easy adjustment and an easy assessment to make. So, you know, I can make the case for Nabers over Odunze. I personally want Odunze. I always kind of think in a tiebreak, I go with the character of what I know, what I expect. And I tilt that towards Odunze. That's not a slight on Nabers. But so I can see that either way. The next player I'm taking off the board here is JJ McCarthy. Now, JJ McCarthy, I think I've said a lot about him. I think he is a really polished, solid quarterback. And again, he's going to be levied with the same thing I've just said about Drake May, only probably not quite as good. I think he's ready to take a team on his shoulders. I think he's going to be a great locker room guy. I think he's going to play brilliantly for the next 3 or 4 years in the NFL. And that's kind of really all I care about in dynasty football. I'm not thinking 10 years. I'm thinking 3 or 4 years. I think he holds off a starter. I think he's going to be very, very competent at what he does. But does he have a high ceiling? I'm not so sure he does. And if he does, I think it takes 4 years to get there. So I think, again, you're looking at a player who's going to be quarterback 1-2, that sort of 11 to 15 range is where he's going to be in scoring. And in the Superflex leagues, that makes a lot of sense. And you want to take that. But at the same point, you're not getting that upside, which is why he's a little bit further down. So again, if you want to make a case for these next two guys over McCarthy, I get it 100%, and you could definitely go that way. But in the nature of Superflex, I'd be taking McCarthy here. So the next two are going to be wide receivers, and they are going to be Ladd McConkey and Adonai Mitchell. I actually have Mitchell over McConkey, which shocks a lot of people, but I'm very high on Mitchell. I just think he's got absolutely everything from size, speed. I think he could land in a really great spot. I really think there's every chance he could end up in somewhere like Kansas City, and it could be an absolutely electric pairing. So he's someone I'm just a big fan of. A huge X receiver, sort of reminds me quite a bit of Mike Evans in a way, which is why I have a bit of an attachment to Adonai Mitchell, or AD Mitchell, as I've sort of been calling him. I think he's a phenomenal talent, and I have no problem in this world putting him as my wide receiver 4 in this class. And that's where I have him. And I really like McConkey. I think he's a really, really, really good player. And, for me, what I like about him is he's quick, really quick off the line. He's going to force DBs back. He's got great hand-eye coordination. He's got great ability. I think for me, you're going to see him in one of these sort of high-volume roles. So in a PPR league, I'd make the case of having McConkey over Mitchell. In any other format, you could probably make the argument to have Mitchell over McConkey. I think he's going to be a high-volume target. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls. He's going to make a lot of plays. The low side of that is I don't know how many times he gets in the box. I don't know how many times he gets in the red zone. That's the issue I have with McConkey to a degree. Next up for me on this list is Michael Penix. So I've talked very highly about Michael Penix. I think Michael Penix is going to land and be a starter very early, probably even day one. And I don't expect him to fall past pick 13 tonight. So when that happens, you expect him to start fairly quickly or straight away. And I think where you're looking at fantasy drafts now, he's a second round, third round pick, even in Superflex, probably second round pick. He'll be a first round pick when he's taken in the top 13 tonight. So I'm getting a bit ahead of the curve here because I'm pretty confident that's going to happen. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, you know, but I believe in the talent. I believe that enough people, I don't say talking him up, but I think there's enough sense for me. I can see the direction of travel here. I think I can see where that's going to go. And I think if that's the case, he will be in this range come tomorrow morning. And people will be absolutely shocked that I will put him over someone like Brock Bowers. But here we are. So I've got Brock Bowers one after this one. So that's kind of where I am. The next player I would have up, and again, it probably depends a little bit on where they get drafted on Friday, but it is Jonathan Brooks. I think he's someone who's got, he reminds me a little bit in the terms of Jonathan Taylor, just with a lot less evidence on the field. He forces a lot of missed tackles, 63, which is a huge amount, huge acceleration, just an absolute like huge, just a guy that's very, very difficult to stop. And when he gets into a running lane, it's really, really hard to stop him. So I think he's going to be absolutely phenomenal. And Jonathan Brooks is someone I'd be keeping an eye on. And I think for me, he sneaks in.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To this first round of this draft. And then shortly after that, it probably be Trey Benson will probably be where I would go next, or Jalen Wright. Probably Wright, I think. I just have more, because he's more explosive and he's got a bit more to his game, I probably have Wright over Franklin. Now, the player I've not talked about here is Brock Bowers. And you know about my feelings of tight ends. And I just don't feel that taking a tight end in the first round of a rookie draft is going to give you the biggest bang for buck. I don't think you're going to get the greatest of returns. People that crept up to take Kyle Pitts at 2 in rookie drafts a couple of years ago. How's that panned out for you? Now, obviously, if you're picking at 10, 11, 12 in a fantasy draft, in a rookie draft, and he's still there, then that's a different conversation to have with yourself. And I can see some logic in taking him. He's no doubt going to be a great player. There's no doubt he's going to go top 10 tonight. There's no doubt he's going to land in a good situation because he's going to be picked in the top 10. But don't let any of that fool you. You know, Kyle Pitts went 4 overall. Didn't really pan out. The OJ Howard went 17 overall to the Buccaneers. That didn't really pan out. And yeah, you get a couple of instances where tight ends in the first round can pan out, but there are far more that don't, especially from a fantasy perspective. You know, for every TJ Hockenson, there's a Noah Fant. You know, there's so many scenarios where this doesn't pan out. I just think it's the most volatile position to take in the first round of a rookie draft. And I just question your need at that position. Now, if you don't have a starter and you need a starter, fair enough. But I don't think you return positional value taking someone like Brock Bowers in the first round of a rookie draft. That's just me. You play the game differently. This is why opinions are opinions, matter, and facts are facts. And ultimately, your strategy and your gameplay is a really big part of this. But I don't see the value of taking someone like Brock Bowers over someone like A.D. Mitchell, over Jonathan Brooks, over Ladd McConkey, over Roman Dunze, over Penix, over McCarthy. Because I think those guys make significant impacts to your team. I don't think Brock Bowers does. And it's not because I don't think he's a good player. I think he's a great player. But is the tight end position really as relevant as, you know, we're seeing this huge case of we've had a few tight ends come into the league and all of a sudden people think tight end's a really important position. It's still not. It's not a lot of separators. It's not a lot of difference between picking sort of tight end 2, tight end 3 and tight end 10. And, you know, for everyone that's going to sit here and quote Sam Laporta and me, yeah, okay, great. Sam Laporta had a great time. What about the tight end out of Buffalo last year? That didn't really work out quite as well for people. And that's kind of the point is, for every positive, there's a negative. And so it's, for me, it's too much risk to take Brock Bowers in the first round. Going back to my list, if I'm looking at next, I've named the two running backs. So I'm probably looking at Troy Franklin, Brian Thomas, or Ricky Purcell. They'd be my next three. Now, Purcell's a really fascinating prospect where, if you were to just look at his highlight reel, it would be absolutely insane. He for me, is more landing spot dependent than the other two. And I think if he lands in the right situation, I think he can absolutely blow up and he will have a massive potential first couple of years in the NFL. I think for me, Franklin is probably the most likely to land a significant role early on, but I'm worried about how many catches he makes. I'm worried he, for me, looks like a low end wide receiver too, as opposed to someone who's really going to come out there and shoot the lights out as a wide receiver one. That's my sort of takes on someone like Franklin. Whereas I think Brian Thomas is someone who I think is someone who's got that variance. He can you can scheme him catches and touches, and he can make plays. You can put him deep. I think he's got the most versatility. I think he's raw. I think he, for every part of him that I think he looks good, there's areas that need significant coaching. But I actually think he has all the equipment to be a really, really top player. So, I think you can make a case on each of these if you're just looking for who's going to be the most solid, probably the least bust-proof. You are probably looking at someone like Franklin. If you're looking at someone who is going to have a varied role and therefore always going to have consistent touches, but maybe not the silly high ceiling, that will be Brian Thomas. I think he will have the most sort of consistent approach, whereas Ricky Purcell, for me, is someone who I can see contend in the right scenario, in the right landing spot as a wide receiver one. But he also, for me, has the biggest flop potential as well. I haven't talked about Xavier Worthy, the guy who ran 4.21. Again, these speedsters tend to be someone who can be a bit of an issue. So that's something to be slightly worried about. For, you know, again, we've seen this with John Ross. We've seen this with so many guys who have gone quick in the combine. But however, he does have good hand-eye coordination. Does look like a really good, solid prospect. I guess for me, he will be overdrafted in your fantasy drafts, and you probably are unlikely to get him. I sort of have him towards the back end of the second round. I don't think that you should be taking him much higher than that in your drafts. I'm sort of got him around about pick 18 to pick 20 in rookie drafts. That's kind of where I am. Similar range to that, I've got Blake Corum. I talked about him necessarily in that route. Now, I think for me, Blake Corum is going to have quite a significant role, but I don't think he's going to have a key single role. I think he's a rotational player that will get sort of hot hand touches. So you have games that he'll be really consistently solid, and then he'll have games where he'll go absolutely missing and get nothing. And his range of outcomes in games for me is somewhere like running back 15 to running back 50. And it really could be a variance game. And I think that will frustrate fantasy managers quite significantly. So something to think about there. Keon Coleman is someone who is, you know, probably thought of significantly less because of the fact that he ran quite slow in the combine. But having said that, I think he's got great size. I think now, because of that time, people will see him as less of a threat. But I think he's probably slightly quicker than that. He looks slightly quicker than that on tape. And I think also on top of that, his size and his catch radius makes him a really durable threat. His kind of combine arc has followed very similar in the vein of DK Metcalf, where people have hung on to one statistic and have kind of nailed on to that. And I think actually is quite a similar player in there as well. Coleman is probably one of those that really needs to be taken early day two. If he falls to late day two, then he falls in out of the first two rounds for me in rookie drafts. So his is really interesting to keep an eye on and look at in more detail. But he's going to be landing spot dependent, but also where he goes. If the NFL has a fourth round view on him, then he's probably not someone you're going to be looking to take anywhere anytime soon. Next guy up on the list is, I guess we better talk about Bo Nix. I just don't know if Bo Nix is a starter in the NFL, but depending on where he goes and how much draft capital goes into him, he could be quite significant. So I think for me, I've kind of got him at this back end of round two right now, based on the fact I think he could go in the second round. And if he goes in the second round, you're talking about the sort of Will Levis effect where there's a potential path, depending on where he lands, to where he can start next season. And if that happens, then obviously he's worth that pick. If there's not, and he's completely blocked, and he goes to somewhere where he's absolutely not going to get a sniff, then you're just better off passing and let someone scoop that up there. Let's talk about Roman Wilson, because I think he's someone that, again, he could be a slot receiver who gets a lot of targets. And I think as a result, if that's the case, he could be someone that is very, very sneaky and have a really, really good trajectory of shooting for the moon. So I think at this point, I'm outside the top 20 players. I'm looking at players who I think outside of 20 who can be players that if the situation fell right and the experience fell right, could end up being really high scoring fantasy football players, but also they're likely to not happen. Roman Wilson's one of those. So like I see him going in the slot. I see him getting a high value catching role. But if he supersedes like 140, 150 targets, we're talking about a guy who could compete for, you know, top 12 at the wide receiver position purely on volume. He's a high volume play. So I think he's a really good stash to have there. So just keep an eye on that, on Roman Wilson. He could be someone that you could look at and think, okay, could really break away here. I look at, again, other players. Bucky Irving is in this list. He's someone that for me was someone I had significantly higher sort of prior to the combine, and someone that just has dropped down significantly since the combine for me because of how bad he did at the combine. And I think, you know, whether it was pressure, I don't really know. But I think for me, what I like about Bucky Irving is he's different. He's a bit like a Devon Achane in the sense of you get him into open space, this guy can just absolutely make things happen. He's got a sniff for the big play. He's just very small, not big in size, but he does get a great amount of receptions out of the backfield. He's a really interesting player that in a team with a competent offensive line, with an innovative coach that's willing to scheme up something different, he is a really interesting prospect. If he ends up at somewhere like Miami, then I'm really intrigued. If he ends up at somewhere like San Francisco, I'm really intrigued. If he ends up in somewhere like Tampa, I'm not. You need to go somewhere that's quite innovative and somewhere that's going to use him in open space, maybe almost as a bit of a receiver, almost like a better Antonio Gibson. And that's the kind of thing I can kind of see that excites me. Another one that's very similar to me in that role is someone like Jalen Polk as a wide receiver. I think for me, what I really like about him is he's solid. I look at him as someone who can fill in like a Robert Woods, and I think he's someone that will make big plays, flashy plays, but I think it will be a slow start. So I look at Polk, and I think actually Polk can be someone who will come in, have that sort of Robert Woods, Chris Godwin, Larry Fitzgerald kind of in the middle of the field, not going too deep, but I think he's going to have like that middle area. And I think the more plays he makes, the more confidence he gets, sort of either operating out of the slot, off the line of scrimmage, over the middle, I think he's going to be really effective in that area. And I think he's someone who's going to really, really make advantage of that situation. So keep an eye on Polk. Another one is Braylon Allen. So I'm a big fan of Allen. Wisconsin put out a lot of really, really good running backs. Jonathan Taylor came from there, in case you need any further reminder about that. He does have some ball security issues, but he is someone that I think is a really strong prospect to potentially sort of upstart someone and potentially get into a really good opportunity to just make some plays and get the ball more. And I think if he usurps in the right area, he's someone that I can see getting additional volume and really kicking on significantly more. And let's not forget Ultra Guestime is another player to keep an eye on. I like Javon Baker. I think he's someone that I'd be keeping an eye on here. But these guys are probably going to go late day two at best, maybe even into day three. So just keep an eye on these sorts of players. There's not many tight ends you need to worry about. Cade Strover out of Ohio State could be one, but not someone I'm too overly concerned with. Rasheen Allen out of Marshall, again, you don't see many players getting drafted out of Marshall. So the fact that he's up there as a running back, he could be one that in the right situation with enough draft capital could be a really interesting one. And then what we'll do is we'll review this next week and go through. But there's the names and the orders that I've kind of got, the talent here. I've not talked about Spencer Rattler. I don't think he's someone I'd be concerned with drafting early on, especially in the first few rounds of your rookie drafts. But if you're looking for like the best of the rest quarterback, Spencer Rattler would indeed be that. And I think that's going to cut it. I think that does everything for this episode. It gives you an idea of what I'm thinking, gives you a bit of an idea and the profiles of where I've got them analyzed and why I think they'll be a good fit. So good luck tonight. I've just seen the sleeper rumor saying that Mel Kiper's with me and that he expects Penix to be taken in the top 13 tonight. So wherever Mel Kiper is listening to this show, which is hard because I haven't put it out, whether he's got me bugged or whatever, or the other way around. But I'm with him. I don't think he's going to go past 13. So there we go. We've got that in common. I've literally just seen that pop up now and I have to chuckle because I've used that exact same line. So that'll do it for another show. But do tune in next week. We'll break down the draft. Good luck tonight. I hope you all enjoy it. I hope you all get what you want. It's almost a form of like NFL Christmas, isn't it? Everyone's sitting with anticipation to see what they're going to get under the tree. So take care. Enjoy yourselves. Don't forget, as always, keep rushing. We'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.